Thoughts on 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 to 12. New Covenant Use of the Old Covenant. Not a very snappy title, I'll agree, but I can't think of one better. What Peter does here, in arguing for this progressive sanctification of believers, he does something which I think is very important for us to notice. He now calls on the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Psalms, Psalm 34. And he uses that psalm, though it's firmly in the Old Covenant, he uses it to enforce progressive sanctification for the believer. The believer, of course, in the time of the New Covenant. Now, this is a most interesting thing. These apostles do it frequently. The letter to the Hebrews is full of it. But Paul does it, writing to the Corinthians, for example. Again and again, he will quote the Old Covenant. Writing to the Romans, he does. Even though these are Gentile believers in the main, he's arguing from the Old Covenant, 1 Corinthians 10 particularly, very powerful passage. These things are written for our profit. They're written for our learning. For us in the days of the new covenant upon whom the end of the ages has come. It's a very different covenant, very different purpose. And we have to be very careful when we go back to the old covenant and bring it into the new. Much damage is done doctrinally, pastorally. Believers are suffering because people, preachers, teachers, have misused the old covenant. Prosperity gospelers, reform teachers often do it. They just simply move between the two covenants as though there was no difference between them. Much damage and hurt can be caused by that, by such misuse. It can lead to work salvation. I'm not simply meaning Rome and the sex. I mean, that's obvious. But even the reformed are in great danger of it. Much law preaching is going on. I know I'm not alone in saying that. People tell me what they see and feel. Well, now, Peter quotes Psalm 34. He's not saying the believer is under the law, but he is saying, look, here's an example of what I mean. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. This is not salvation by works. We're not in that area at all. But we are in the area of works. Under the gospel, he must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, I don't need to preach it, do I? There's a duty here, isn't there? Must, 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 must. It comes over and over again. There's no option here. This is a vital matter. It's an essential. Believers are bound to do this. This is what the law of Christ says, not the law of Moses. This is what the law of Christ says. If a man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And here's an illustration from the Old Covenant, an application of the Old Covenant to the believer. Not that he's under the Old Covenant, but his duty is to Christ under the new. And he is responsible. He, who, you, I'm talking to you, he says. You're responsible. You can't pass this on. It's not let go and let God. It's not passive. This is an active thing. Conscious of God, verse 12. You get this very important here. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And the righteous know this, and they're pleased about it, but they're conscious of it. They know they have to answer for it. And his ears are attentive to their prayer. They are thankful for that, but they're conscious of it. Psalm 139. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a challenging thing. It's a convicting thing. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and so on. This is not a soft, woolly thing. Sugared and fluffy. Flax. Laxity. I wrote a book called Liberty, But Not License. And I think much harm is done when New Covenant theologians can give the impression there's a kind of easier standard under Christ. The law of Christ is more penetrating. Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said unto you by the law. Well, I'm telling you, it's not simply the external this and that, it's the internal. Of course, this is a word against not only misuse of the law, but it's against this sort of passive view of sanctification, but it's against hyperism too. Well, I'm not responsible. It's up to God, you know. I'm not my own master. Yes, you are responsible, brother. Yes, you are, sister. And so are you, unbeliever, too. If you will not repent, if you will not believe, you can speak about the sovereignty of God till the cows come home. And, of course, God is sovereign. I'm not denying it. But the ball stops with you. That is to say, you are responsible, as the believer is, too. This is a duty. This is an imperative, and the old covenant, combined with the new, in Christ, confirms and emphasizes and stresses this very point. May we come up to it, brother and sister. Amen.